Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker. With 23 years of experience in Ventura County, from Westlake to Carpinteria, experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 0119-0308.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117, or visit mikeforloans.com, NMLS number 248433.
Please join us for Metal Arc Service League's 30th annual A Taste of Camarillo Wine, Brew, and Food Festival, the longest-running wine and food festival in Ventura County. Guests spend an afternoon sampling on the grounds of the historic Camarillo Ranch. Dust off your boots and enjoy country-western music and dancing with live performances. There'll be a VIP Lark Saloon, Wet Your Whistle Watering Hole, and shopping in the shade of 100-year-old trees. All proceeds from the Taste of Camarillo benefit local and Ventura County charities. Saturday and Sunday, July 29th and 30th. For more information, visit www.metalarcserviceleague.com.
Let's get it started in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And I have Chad Atkins in here in the studio. Wow. Welcome back. Long time no see. I mean, we've seen each other, but I know you're crazy busy. And
you know, life has just gotten in the way a little bit. You know how that works.
Yeah, more than I want to say I do. Yes. In fact, you know, it's crazy. One, I just want to say my, you know, best to you with your loss of your mom.
Thank you.
And, you know, I mentioned it to our listeners, but life does go on. And I was just at another funeral again last night. And, you know, one, I want to just welcome Tom to our show. How are you, Tom?
Doing great.
Good, good. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the middle. So just remind me, because I think when I went to this funeral, another funeral, I have to say, you know, at least she lived a long life. But there's something I realized, you know, as they're kind of talking about their life and stuff. I don't think we tell it before we die, you know, and that's really what this show is all about, is really sharing your life and finding out who we are as people, you know, instead of like that last rite or that last time where we're telling about our parents or we're telling about, you know, ourselves. I want to tell my story now, you know?
You know, I think we do. I mean, I don't know if you've ever sat in a room with your parents and they telling you stories about when they were kids and what they did. I mean, they kind of do, I think, but it's not spread to the world.
Yeah.
Not like what you are able to offer here.
Yeah. So
I mean, you and I live a very authentic life, and we are lucky to do what we love.
I am telling you.
And we're always telling our story. So we're very lucky like that. But, you know, the majority of people don't get to do that. I agree.
Yeah. So I would love to just open that up to my listeners. You know, if you want to tell your story, That's what it's all about. Is I, this lady, it's interesting. You know, my birthday's 2 days after Christmas. Her birthday was 2 days before Christmas. And she was 94. Thank God she lived.
Here's a question. Do you get double presents?
No, I don't. Well, you know what? Actually, my parents always did special, okay? But they would save my presents. So I don't know if I got double or not, but I did get birthday. And, but you know what? But anyways, it was interesting hearing who she was, what her life was all about. And anyways, I just love that. So I encourage everybody to, you know, I lost my mom last year and, you know, maybe I didn't really listen, you know, that was a thing. And like, you know, it's funny because I heard my son's girlfriend say, I've already heard that joke or whatever, you know what I mean? Well, we hear it after a long time. And so maybe we kind of block it out. But when you don't have that anymore,
I agree. You know, it's been about a month since my mom passed, and it's interesting because, all of us have to put boundaries in our life with our kids, our family, our mothers, our fathers, you know, and it's those things that, you know, you have to put boundaries in their life. And then, like, my mom would call me, and then she would call me, and then she would call me.
Chad, and, answer the
until
phone.
Until I picked up my
right,
phone.
Exactly.
And it would drive me crazy. Right. And I don't ever regret putting the boundary, but... You know, there was one day I was in the shower and I was like, oh, my mom's been calling me, because it had been like 2 weeks. And I was like, I need to call her. And I was like, ooh, I can't. So as much as I'm glad I put the boundaries in my life for
me,
it's those little things that just you open your eyes a little bit and pay attention, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know why they're calling, even if it's just to say hello. You know, just take a moment. Like you always say, just take a moment.
Pause and enjoy it. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what? Just be there. Be in that moment. So many people are, you know, my husband says this all the time. I'm just killing time. Why would you want to kill time?
I agree.
I always say, why would you want to kill time? I want more time. Yes. I can't even get up fast enough in the morning to start my day to.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Well, I know, but no, because can you never get done with all your stuff? Don't you feel like there's
never
time?
Yeah. Then I get tired and I just fall asleep and I pass out on the couch. I mean, that's and I wake up and I'm like, oh, I got all this stuff to do.
There you go. All right. Anyways, welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, I always like to start something with our show, something uplifting. And of course, I'm sorry I had to like kind of rant on that thing, but I really just thought that was important to talk about. But you are like the ocean, pretty enough on the surface, but dive down into the depths and you'll find beauty within everybody that we see and that we never even talk about or see. So anyways, kind of went actually with along what I was talking about. I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And of course, we love to have you call, talk to our guests, find out about our guests, find out about all of our events that are happening. And we've got a lot. So also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. We have a newsletter that goes out every single week. And if you haven't already received it, when you call in, give us your email and we'll connect you with that. And we also have our podcast. If you miss any part of our show, download our podcast on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. And we'll be there with you all day long. You can hear all of our back shows. So with that, Tom, you want to talk about some of our great giveaways and some of our mentions?
Yes, Kim, we do have Tequila and Taco Music Festival, California's largest traveling. I think we're all on the same boat here. A little bit of tequila there for me.
Thank
you very much. And Taco, it's a music festival coming to downtown Ventura Plaza Park. Join us for 2 days of fun in the sun. It's happening Saturday, July 22nd, then Sunday, the 23rd. This is a blast. You're going to have such a good time there. So get on out to the Tequila and Taco Festival with music, too. The 24th annual Oxnard Salsa Festival is on the way, and that's in downtown Oxnard. It's 2 days of spicy foods and sizzling entertainment. We have it covered on the Kim Pagano Show. We have tequila, we have tacos, we have salsa.
We do, and I want to give them away right now, so call in right now at 805-491-4. Let me start all over. Do you want to say our phone number?
Yeah,
you
I think we should just like Chad do the rest
I know.
Of the show.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, connect. I do not miss this part.
You don't. Oh, God.
The reading of it. Okay. I miss you guys. Okay. I love you. You
guys. All right, speaking all right. in tongues, but we are getting
the
through.
Number oh, call right now, 419-0008. That's 419-0008.
There you
call
go.
Call right now. Name, number, email address, and a team member will contact you back.
You see, you haven't lost it.
I haven't lost
see?
It. It's still
right.
in there.
There you go. All right. Well, let's bring our first guest on, and I am really excited to talk with Brian Hausman. And, of course, his book is Tech, and of course, Tech Savvy Parenting, Navigating Your Child's Digital Life. Ooh, that's a little one. You still have a young one.
I have a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I already did all this. But you didn't
have what we have now.
No, it's a little, I actually brought the technology into our school, okay? And that was a little scary. And I brought policemen and sheriffs in to, like, you know, tell them all the things not to be doing. And
but your youngest is?
21.
Okay, so yeah. When you brought it in, it was 10 years ago.
I know.
Tech has changed.
Do you
changed.
Have to just
no, no,
remind
I'm just,
me?
No, no, no. It's yeah. more of what how quickly
no,
tech
I, it
is changing.
Well, you buy
every...
a computer and the next day it's not even good anymore.
Well,
you know?
I have my iPhone 7 now. I actually finally switched from Samsung to iPhone.
Someone
finally converted
there.
Me.
Okay, you'll be so much happier.
But you know, now the iPhone 8's coming out soon. It's like, really?
See, what? That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Anyways, Brian, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Kim. It's so good to be back with you again.
Well,
I remember I was on your show last year when my other book came out, How You Always Miss a Parent.
Oh, and I love it. I love
man,
it. All
we
right.
had such a great conversation. I remember you and I actually connected off air by phone later that afternoon, and you called just to say how much you enjoyed chatting.
Oh, well,
so
thank you.
Was,
and yeah, you know what? No, I love my guests. I'm really picky and, you know, about who I have on my show. Everybody goes, how do you pick your guests? I'm like, it talks to me. You know, your book talks to me. You're passionate about what you do. That's the kind of guests I have on here. And so I'm so glad to have you back. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about who you are and, of course, your book. And of course, this is your second book, correct?
Well, actually, this is my fourth book.
Oh, God, of course. Okay.
But this is the one that is just blown up like crazy.
Wow.
It's been a top 10 seller on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And we've ended up doing over 50 media appearances about the book. And it's just been a huge blessing.
Well, that's awesome. That is so great. So tell us a little bit. There is a direct correlation between use of media and academic achievement for children, right?
There is. Yeah.
What is that? Tell us a little bit about that.
It could be a little bit of a double-edged sword, you know, in the sense that technology can be a blessing, you know, that it can help us streamline our life. It can help our kids. Sometimes it can help a kid learn more efficiently. But then with other kids, like my son, who has ADD, it can be a huge, huge distraction, you know, with constant trying to do homework, but yet he's got YouTube running in the background. You
yeah,
know?
Or one ear plug-in, right?
Yeah, or, you know, sometimes we say, hey, let's bring, like you were mentioning to your co-host, that you help bring some technology into the school
right.
you know, to help make parents aware. Well, now a lot of our schools are technology intensive, you know, where it's every kid gets an iPad or an iMac or that kind of a thing. You know, they have laptops available for kids to get on. That can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be a negative because there's so much overexposure to technology throughout our kids' day.
I actually want to chime in a little bit because my son's 9 and he is extremely tech savvy when it comes to our iPhones, his iPad, everything like that. And I agree, it's a double-edged sword because I'll have him do his homework, and it's, you know, it's writing. He also is ADHD, so his writing is horrendous. And that's usually in boys, especially. It's one of the last things that really kind of falls into place. But one day he came to me. He's like, can't I just type them out? And I'm like, no. That kind of defeats the purpose of learning how to write and write, you know, nicely and in the lines. But on the other hand, we'll be talking, and my son is very unique child where he likes antiques. Like right now, he's into old cameras.
He is?
He loves antiques. He would rather have an antique than a new toy.
See, he's an old soul then,
so,
right?
So now he'll be asking me all these questions, and I'm like, I don't know. And I'm honest. I'm like, I don't know. And I tell him, Google it. And he'll pull up all YouTube videos. Like I hear him in the background in the car, and it's talking about, you know, the 35mm camera from 1890 and... he's absorbing all this knowledge at the same time. So I agree, it's totally, as long as it's controlled by us as parents, I think it can be a totally beneficial thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. When they get on the wrong track, yes, there you go. And that's where parents need to, like, you know, I mean, it's funny because a lot of people said don't ever have, you know, computers in your in their rooms. Do you have a computer in their room?
In
I mean,
no.
But how,
he'll never
phone,
have
right?
Facebook. He'll never have Instagram.
Okay, good.
And he'll never have a computer in his room because there's laptops nowadays. Bring it out. You need to be around us.
Okay, good. That's good. What do you think, Brian? Same thing, right?
Absolutely.
I know your thought on that. Yeah.
Yeah, our kids are not allowed to have, they've never had TVs or computers in their room, especially my son, just because I feel like I would be setting my son up for a moral failure, a moral train wreck, if I let him have a laptop in his bedroom, especially by themselves. I mean, he's not allowed to take screens in the bathroom with him either, just because, I mean, we all know what boys can do. And so we just said, you know, part of my job isn't to set up boundaries, I mean, like constant restrictions in your life. My job is to help protect your heart. And, you know, part of me protecting your heart is to set up reasonable boundaries. And I love it. Both my kids, you guys were talking about sharing stories before I got on the air. And I love it that we spend so much time together as a family that my kids really do trust my judgment. You know, so when I say, hey, I'm asking you not to take this laptop in your bedroom, not because I don't trust you, but because my heart is to protect your heart.
You know, that's my desire. I love how you say that. Yeah, no, I totally agree. How old are your kids, Brian?
My son is 19, and my daughter is turns 18 next month.
Okay, so obviously you don't have to monitor them anymore, right?
I wish.
I know, right? Yeah, you don't tell them that they can't have their laptops in their room anymore, but, you know, we hope that we've done a good job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can certainly change the boundary now that he's in college, you know, and, but I love it. You know, a really quick story, when he was leaving, getting ready to leave for college last year, we always had restrictive boundary software on his laptops. I mean, both my daughter and my son and myself, that would block out any kind of objectionable content.
Mm.
And so I went to him before he was leaving for school, and I said, Bailey, I'm going to take this software off your laptop so that you're going to be free to look at whatever you want to look at.
Wow.
I said, but I know the choices. I know that your desire is to live in a certain spiritual path, and that the choices you make every day will determine whether or not you stay on that path or not.
Mm.
And I said, so now it's time for you to be a man, and you got to make this choice on your own without me being there to stop you.
Mm.
I said, but instead, what we could do is we could set up accountability software. And so we used something that's called, it's called X3, it stands for Triple X Church, and X3. And so what it does is you can look at whatever you want to, but what happens is at the end of the week, your accountability partner gets a list of anything potentially objectionable that you looked at on your device.
Wow.
And so it gives freedom, but yet there's accountability. He said, I would love to have that. And I said, well, but the way accountability works is that you have to have an accountability partner. And I said, and I'm willing to be your accountability partner, but it has to go both ways. So if you're willing to set it up so that I can see what you look at, then I'm going to set it up so that you can see what I look at. And he just said, wow, Dad. You know, and because I wanted to show him. But it's not about me just being his parent. It's about me being his partner. I'm his advocate in this.
I like that. But not only that, is we forget as parents, do as I say, but not as I do, right?
Yeah.
A lot of parents do that. And I think that they need to be the image that they want to create in their children. And I so totally agree with that. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us, waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, we're talking with Brian Hausman, and we're talking of one of his many books, Tech Savvy Parenting, and really navigating your child's digital life. Now, what are some of, like, I mean, you know, since you've been doing this, obviously you've talked to a lot of parents, and when should a child get a computer? Because I see these kids that are like one or two and they have their own little laptop or like, you know, an iPad. And I'm like, seriously? But they're doing games on it. But what's that going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the number one question I get from parents everywhere I go, we've gone to 45 states, we've gone to 11 different countries. I'm going to Singapore and Malaysia in 2 weeks to speak at technology conferences. And the number one question I get everywhere is, when should I let my kid have their cell phone? And in the United States, the average age is now 11 and a half. Now, the drawback to that is I believe that an 11 and a half year old does not have the life experience yet to understand how the information that they're sharing with others can potentially be used against them.
Right.
You know, all the information is being harnessed, you know, gathered by whoever they're texting with, whatever social media that they're on. We got 20% of all 10-year-olds are now on social media, 55% of all 12-year-olds, even though technically by law you're supposed to be 13 before you can be on social media. And so anyway, we've got these millions of kids that have got these phones, got, you know, handheld devices that are sharing personal information. And all that information is creating this digital reputation of their life before they've even become a teenager yet.
I agree with you. That's probably one of the things I'm
going to play a devil's advocate here because my son is 9 and we are actually discussing getting him a cell phone. However, it's going to be a flip phone, something where you can't connect to the internet, where program only certain numbers in. We're going to talk to the
phone. As an emergency.
Because technology is so rampant that people can find children and everybody else. So I want and kids get lost all the time, to have that technology and have a phone that has, you know, our two numbers programmed in there.
I totally agree with you 100%.
There's a way to get around it and be smart about it and still protect our children, you know, and use the tech that's out there.
Absolutely. I mean,
the problem is that for most parents, when they go down to the local AT&T or Verizon store, wherever you get your cell phones, there's going to be 22 bright and shiny new smartphones. And then there's going to be one redheaded stepchild flip phone at the end of the aisle, you know, that your kid is going, don't even think about buying that for me, Mom. I am not going to.
So that's where you don't take your kid with you, right?
Well, my son's an only child, we're teaching him to don't worry about what everybody else says. You know, it's where parenting comes in.
There you go. I love it. Brian, we need to take a really quick break. Will you stay on with us?
Sure.
Okay, absolutely. Cool. All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, we're talking with Brian. We're going to take a really quick break. I'd love to give something away. And we have, Taste of Camarillo. And of course, that is coming up July 30th, 1-4. And we still got a pair of tickets left for this. So call in right now at 805-419-0008. 419-0008. All you have to do is leave us your name, your number, and what you're calling about, and one of the team members will get back with you. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Studio Channel Islands is a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the creative life of Old Town Camarillo and the communities within Ventura County, fostering connections between artists and visitors, and celebrating the cultural identity of our community. Ongoing programs including Artists in Residence Open Studios, Arts Education Classes, diverse Blackboard Gallery exhibitions, cultural events, festivals, poetry, comedy, and much more. Come visit Studio Channel Islands, located at 2222 East Ventura Boulevard in Camarillo, or call 805-383-1368. You may also visit StudioChannelIslands.org for more info about events or view collections or artists.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand-popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500. It's time for Southern California's hottest summer event, the 24th Annual Oxnard Salsa Festival, July 29th and 30th at Plaza Park in downtown Oxnard. 2 days of spicy foods and sizzling entertainment. Enjoy the region's best salsa bands. Take to the dance floor when the music moves you. Enjoy authentic foods and refreshing beer and margaritas. Taste award-winning salsas. Shop in their marketplace. Plus, tortilla art and fun activities for the kids. Festival admission is free. Premium seating available online. Don't miss the Oxnard Salsa Festival, July 29th and 30th. Visit OxnardSalsaFestival.com.
Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past 2 decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, Chad and Tom are in the studio with me. And we're so glad that you are here. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We are talking with Brian Hausman, who's been on my show before. And of course, he is the tech-savvy guy here talking about parenting and lots of things that we need to worry about as parents, you know. Sexting among teens. Talk to us about that.
Well, sexting, for anyone listening that may not know, is basically sending a sexually oriented text message or social media message. It could be a photo, a video, a still image. And roughly, we know that roughly 1 out of 4 of all adolescent girls and 1 out of 5 of all guys admit to sending and receiving a sext from somebody else. 1 out of 4 of all girls admit to sending inappropriate photos of themselves to other people. And these are not, 22-year-olds. These are 12 to 16-year-olds.
Taking
part in this.
Yeah.
And there was actually an ABC News story last year about dating with millennials. And I know millennials are a little bit older than our teenagers, but it all kind of trickles down. And anyway, this news story that's basically saying that there is no such thing as dating anymore. It's just this hookup culture. And we see that kind of, disseminating down into technology. And I think it's part of what's happening. The technology's kind of driven that whole idea of not dating anymore, because you can just have these sexual encounters with people online or, through a hookup site and that kind of thing. Speaking of hookup sites, Tinder, last year revised their age limit. It used to be that you could be 14, to age of 14 to Tinder account. And so revised it to 17. But we know that when they revised it, that 7.5 million 13 to 16-year-olds had Tinder accounts.
Wow, that's incredible.
13 to 16-year-olds.
That's scary. I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah, and so imagine, because there are no boundaries on there, when it comes to who can connect with who, let's say that you've got a 15-year-old girl whose picture looks like a 22-year-old girl, because they do many times, and she's connecting with a 26-year-old man who may look younger than he is. And so it just becomes all these very blurred boundaries. Sometimes.
Well, I have to say, I'm a parent, and it starts at home. You can go to school, you can go to the local, place and log on, but most kids, 13 to 17-year-olds, don't have money to be able to do that extra stuff. They'd rather get a hamburger or, soda with their friends, so they're accessing it through their own phones. So if parents aren't checking the phones...
Yeah.
Then it, again, that's why I mean it starts
but,
at home.
Okay, these kids, I'm telling you,
7.5 million is a lot.
That's a huge.
Okay, but Chad, over 90% of parents say that they trust their children to do what's appropriate on their phone.
Oh, I don't trust my child. I love him dearly, yeah. But he's nine. So he doesn't have the common sense to know what's right and wrong for himself.
Okay, my kids are older and they still don't. Seriously. You know, no, I'm, you know what? But here's the thing, what I think is these kids have been brought up with technology, so they almost know more than we do. Okay, and so for them to hide something,
I'm lucky. I'm in a field where I have to use tech a lot.
But I do too. But I'm just telling you, there's ways to, you know, to hide things. I mean, like, what about that secret texting? You know, that you don't see the person's phone number. There's a lot. I mean, you know, marital problems are caused by this. You know, I mean, let alone our children.
But again, in order to do all those things, you have to, like, for your iPhone, if you download the app, you have to have an iTunes account, or you have to have these accounts.
That's true.
You have to have an email address. So if your child has an email address, why don't you have the password to that email? Yes, they could create another one, but they shouldn't have, you know, everything needs to be fully transparent, and you need to force the transparency.
Yeah. Now, Brian, we didn't talk about gaming, okay? That is another huge problem, isn't it?
Oh, it is, in that it's the number one activity. Video games aren't evil. I mean, matter of fact, I just want to clarify that I don't think technology is evil. Technology is inanimate. It can't be good or evil. It's how we use it that can become very unhealthy at times. And so I don't want any of your listeners to think that I'm against technology. We are all iMac, iPad, Apple out in our house. You know, we are all up to our neck and our ears in technology. But we do have a lot of boundaries in our children's lives when it comes to how they can use it and where they can use it. Video games are the number one activity that middle school boys in particular do. Over 92% of them say that they play video games at least once a week. They play more, spend more time playing video games than they do exercise. That by the time your son is 18 years old, graduates from high school, he will spend more time playing video games than in every minute of education from K through 12. That's how much time that they spend on this. And so, again, I don't think it's bad, but we have got to put up restrictions and boundaries of how much time you play and where you play, what kind of games you play.
Yep.
There's a great app out there for parents. It's free. It's called ESRB. You can go to your app store and type in ESRB. And it's an app that has you scan the USB code, the barcode on the back of the video game, and it'll tell you why the game has the rating that it does. Like, why is it M for mature or T for teen?
Right.
So that if your kid is wanting you to buy a game, then you can understand what the potential content of the game is.
Very good. Very good. You have some great tips. Are all these in your book?
They are. There's a whole chapter in the book just on understanding the short-term effects of a long-term exposure to video game violence.
Okay.
There's a whole chapter on understanding video game ratings. There's a chapter on setting how to talk to your children about digital pornography and sexual boundaries when it comes to technology. You know, there's a whole chapter on talking with your child and helping to protect their digital reputation. You know, we have things happening now. You can just type in a Google search. It says high school senior loses college scholarship. And you're going to see story after story after story of high schoolers who've worked hard for 4 years to get into the right university, to get the right scholarships, only to lose them because
you just gave me chills,
because of a silly photo, you know, that they posted. Just about 3 months ago, there was a story of, I think it was 9, it may have been 7, incoming Harvard freshmen this coming fall, that all lost their scholarships. Because they found out that there was a Harvard freshman, like, chat board, you know, on talk group on Facebook. And some of them began to post inappropriate things. And, you know, another freshman reported at the school, and they all lost their scholarship.
Yeah. Do you think that should be zero tolerance? What's your thought on that? See, that's where I just kind of...
Yeah, I can't agree.
It's like, where can our kids have, like, one more chance? You know, we used to drive with no seatbelts. Now you have to... It's a law. You know what I mean? Where... Like, they don't really have a chance. So I definitely agree with parenting, but God, there's so many laws now that make it so hard for them to be, you know, successful in this world.
Well, Cam, I do agree that we tend to overstep our boundaries. And as parents, you and I talked about this back in December, about my last book, How You Always Met a Parent.
Right.
But my bent as a parent is toward grace. My bent is not toward rules. I mean, ask my kids, we don't have any rules in our home.
Right.
We have lots of boundaries.
Right. I like
boundaries.
Because
boundaries produce healthy relationships.
Right.
Rules lead to rebellion.
Wow.
And so I don't want to just set up just frivolous, endless rules in my kids' life. Instead, I want to teach them how to engage people, how to have a healthy relationship, how to respect and honor others. And because of the life that they live now with technology, that's going to come many times through what they post and what they say to others online.
Right.
And so I can, you know, on one hand, I could say, man, I hate it for this kid that this one mistake had a big consequence.
Right.
But unfortunately, that school gets to determine what their boundary is going to be.
No question.
And if that school says it's zero tolerance, then I've got to be willing as a student to live within that boundary.
Absolutely. Brian, as always, I know why I called you, because you are awesome. So I thank you so much for being a guest here. I definitely want to talk to you again. And where do we find your book?
Well, you can get it it's on Amazon. It's available there. It's still in the top 10 of all technology books on Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Noble. You know, can order it for you. Any of your local Christian bookstores, you can get it at our publisher at d6family.org. They have it at d6family.com.
Okay.
Has it as well. But right. Amazon's going to be the quickest and easiest place to get it.
You got it. Well, thank you very much. And I look forward to talking with you again. Please share
you
my
as
show.
Well. Thanks for having me
you,
on. It was
you
great
got
talking
it.
To both of you guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. We're going to just move right on in to our next guest. And of course, that is Wynn Tran. And of course, we're going to be talking about adventures in the Starry Kitchen. And it's 88 Asian inspired recipes. I love Asian food.
Yes,
you do
so
too.
Do
I know you do. Yeah. And anyways, but this is it's America's most famous underground restaurant. He actually started in his apartment. And Wynn, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm amazing. I'm alive. I have a book. Someone's going to take it, give me a book deal.
There you go. I love it. I love it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started and, you know, who you are and some of your amazing recipes.
So I'm Wynn Tran. I'm one half of Starry Kitchen. I'm the self-proclaimed, as I call myself, the chief instigating officer of Starry Kitchen. And my degree is in theater science. I was pre-med. I worked in film for 8 years. I actually used to work at a talent agency called William Morris, one of the oldest talent agencies in business. At the end of my film career, my wife and I started an illegal and underground restaurant of our apartment at the fall of the economy because we needed to make money. And our apartment eventually became the number one Asian fusion restaurant listing in all of Los Angeles on Yelp.
Wow, that
and
is
we didn't
just
expect it.
That is crazy. So you and your new bride, correct?
Yeah, we had just gotten married when we started it out of our apartment, we probably got married maybe 6 months before that.
That is insane. Wow. And so is she a great cook too?
Well, she's the actual talent. So she's our executive. I learned from her. So she's not just a great cook too. I've learned from her. She is the cook. She's the talent. I'd be nothing without her.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you, and so is this book hers and yours, or is it, you know?
Well, that's the funny part. That's the funny part. So the recipes are, we worked together in hers, but I had to rewrite all of them. Okay. My wife wanted no part of writing. She wanted no part of putting her voice into it. And the funny thing is, like, we got a review, like, a couple weeks ago. And they were like, you know, we'd love to hear more from her. And I tell my wife this all the time. It's like, you know, honey, everyone thinks I'm trying to mansplain for you all the time. But people just don't realize that you don't want to be heard. She shies away from it. So
okay. Is she able to speak English and everything, right? Or is she Asian and she can't speak?
No, she's totally fluent in English.
She needs to get out there and promote herself. I love it.
She just shies away from the limelight. She doesn't like it.
Okay. Well, there's people like that, so I totally get it. Right.
Well,
get it.
Well, her passion is the food, and that's where she wants to stay focused in. And
yeah,
you know, you get caught up in the rest of it sometimes. And
so, how does she? Do you guys still have it in your apartment?
No. So our story is so complicated. So in 2010, 9 months after we started our apartment, we actually became legit and opened a real lunch restaurant in downtown LA. And that lunch restaurant got us in the New York Times, the New Yorker, LA Times. Like, and by the way, I say all this stuff, and it sounds like I'm pompous. Like, I'm saying it because I'm surprised. Like, it's a lunch restaurant. We were not.
Well, you're humbled. Breakfast. You know, is
what's the name of the restaurant?
So Starry Kitchen is Star, the name
it's
of
sorry,
the
it's Starry Kitchen. Okay.
Yeah, but we have a place called Button Mash in Echo Park next to Dodger Stadium too. So that's where we're at now.
Oh, you're at the Dodger Stadium. Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you guys. You know, I love when it like authentically happens. You know what I mean? And you kind of look back, going, "How did I get here?" You know, that's what it kind of seems like, right?
Yeah, failing upwards. That's what I always say, because it's hard, because the restaurant business, everyone says the restaurant business is hard, and that's partially why I wrote the book too. It's a cookbook memoir. I write actually the actual stories of how hard the restaurant business is and how much I screwed up and how much of a screw-up I am as a person. So people can at least be inspired, like, you know what, I'm smarter than this guy, I should own a restaurant, or, you know what, screw that, I'm not doing that, this is too much work. And either way, I just want to inspire people.
Wow. So let me ask you, go back to kind of like the beginning. You opened up this apartment with serving food, right? How many people did you serve, or was it to go, or did you have tables there, or tell us about that?
It's pretty casual. So our apartment complex, we were on the second floor, but the second floor is actually the ground floor of our apartment. So we had a communal patio, and we feed pretty consistently 50 to 70 people out of our apartment, but the most we ever did was about 130. And yeah, it's not people sitting down, it's people coming and going. But yeah, when we had 130, it was complete manic mayhem.
Oh my God. And how many people did you have working for you? Was it you and your wife?
It was just me and my wife. There were no workers.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so, and then you guys decided to start a restaurant, correct?
We decided to start a lunch restaurant just because a friend of ours was trying to sell his restaurant and he couldn't do anything with it. And he's like, look, we need someone to take it over, and you, for some reason, are exploding. You should see if you can take Starry Kitchen to the next level.
Wow. And was that already the name, Starry Kitchen?
Yeah. 3 days before we started out of our apartment, I asked my wife, hey, whatever this is, if it works, you need to give it a name, because once we have that name, if it works, we're going to be stuck with it. And in 10 seconds, she was like, Starry Kitchen. I'm like, all right, that's it.
Wow.
And now you guys are Button Mash.
Well, Button Mash is part of us. So Starry Kitchen is like the umbrella of everything we do.
Okay.
Button Mash is a project we've worked on. And
yeah, because I'm looking at your website right now. It's video games, it's food and drinks. And I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. I want to go.
Yeah. Okay. When are we going? We're coming down there. Sorry.
Yes, we are.
When we're going to have to come and meet you.
It's old school video games like Donkey Kong.
Oh my God.
Stuff.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
See, our kids don't know anything about,
my
you know,
son does.
He
know,
okay,
you, he
he's an old soul.
He
okay,
really
okay. Yeah, I love that.
All ages until 9 p.m. Please bring your kids. We'd love to have them.
Oh,
awesome.
I love that. Okay, so, how did you spread the word, and how did you get noticed?
So the first time we did it, we were in these apartment complexes, and I printed up 300 flyers, and I flyered every apartment in our apartment complex. I started a Facebook page, a Twitter account. This is before Instagram existed. And then I also texted every one of my friends that guilt them into showing up.
Do you have like old fashioned text each one of them, or like a program that texts?
No, I would old fashioned text every single one of them. I wasn't smart enough for that.
I'm just wondering. Okay. Yeah. So, wow, that's totally cool.
Yeah. This is all grassroots. Like, and the thing is, to help you understand, like, you know, we are relatively successful now. Like, we didn't expect it to do anything but make a little bit of money and just figure out. Again, we were at the fall of the economy. No one knew what they were going to do when the money dried up. And we just did this to pass the time, to make a little bit of cash. We didn't expect to be restaurateurs. That was never the case.
That's awesome. I love stuff like this. You know what? When will you stay with us? We need to take a really quick break. But when I come back, I want to talk to you really about some of your recipes and kind of, you know, dig a little bit deeper. All right, cool.
Let's do it.
All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And again, we're so glad you're here. We have a whole nother show, and we're going to be here all the way till 8 o'clock. What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about my event coming up, Barks and Bubbles at the Four Seasons Westlake. So super excited about that. And we have Kiki Epson, which, if you guys don't know, is Buddy Epson's daughter.
There
She's a singer and songwriter. So stay tuned for that.
I know. We're going to see maybe.
I'm going to ask if she'll sing. We'll
see.
Okay,
cool. We'll see. All right, perfect. Anyways, I've got tickets to the Oxnard Salsa Festival, and that's coming up July 29th and 30th. And
and that's from 11 to 7 over at Park Plaza downtown Oxnard. They've got a huge weekend lineup, and I'd love to share some tickets with you. And of course, it's like the hot, spicy salsa, you know, sizzling. Everything's going to be happening there. So again, call us right now and get some tickets. 805-419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117, or visit mikeforloans.com, NMLS number 248433.
Please join us for Metalark Service League's 30th annual A Taste of Camarillo Wine, Brew, and Food Festival, the longest-running wine and food festival in Ventura County. Guests spend an afternoon sampling on the grounds of the historic Camarillo Ranch. Dust off your boots and enjoy country western music and dancing with live performances. There'll be a VIP Lark Saloon, wet your whistle watering hole, and shopping in the shade of 100-year-old trees. All proceeds from the Taste of Camarillo benefit local and Ventura County charities. Saturday and Sunday, July 29th and 30th. For more information, visit www.metalarcserviceleague.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, I do want to tell you about our next hour. Get your mouth watering about what we're going to be talking about. We have Anna Griffin and Kiki Epson going to join us. And of course, they're going to be talking about Paw Works and of course, their brunch. And oh my God, it's a fundraiser. And of course, you do everything like top notch.
Yeah, you've been to my fundraiser. So you know.
Yeah, I love that.
I love a good time.
There you go. And then we have Vivian Rhodes with her book, If You Should Read This, Mother. And then we have Mark Seknin, and he is going to be talking about all the fires that we've had and really how to protect ourselves and what to do to if a fire approaches our home. So got a little bit of stuff going on there. Anyways, again, right now, I'm really excited to talk with Wynn and Tran. And, of course, we're talking about his amazing restaurant that they started in their apartment. I love this, him and his wife. And of course, it's called Adventures in Starry Kitchen is his book. So, Wynn, talk to us. There's something here about a banana suit. Tell us about that.
I wear a banana suit a lot to promote the restaurant, and the first reason is because I can. The second reason is because I'm the boss and I can. But the real reason is because right before we started out of our apartment, I worked in film, and there was this movie I worked on called White on Rice, and there was a character that wore a banana suit. And we went around the country promoting it, and I just told the director, like, hey, give me the banana suit. He's like, why? It's like, I can't explain it. I'm just going to do crazy stuff in it. And I started, like, raiding parades in it, getting on TV, like, just going to, like, college campuses and taking pictures of people. And when I found that the power of the banana suit, I knew when I started the restaurant
the
of our apartment.
The power of the banana suit.
It's amazing. It's the least creepy outfit you can wear that people get.
Oh my
right?
God.
No one questions it.
Okay.
And people like, they'll run up to you and take pictures of you and take like big hugs with you. You have whole families of people. It's amazing.
Okay, okay. You also have a story about the Hollywood Board of Health, okay, and also about the sales tax folks. I'm kind of a little curious
I
about
know.
That.
I know. Love those sales tax folks.
I know.
Folks.
Yeah, talk to us.
Oh, my God. Well, number one, 5 months out of our apartment, the health department did find us out of our apartment, tried to shut us down, and interrogated me.
How did they find you? That's my question.
Well,
they came there to eat. No.
Right.
Well, we did invite them to eat. Like, we were telling them what's the difference between a dinner party and a legal restaurant. The reason they found us is I think a local restaurateur, again, remember, this is a faulty economy. But that's not a bad thing. This is my favorite thing that happened to us. I have him to thank. A local restaurateur found us. My apartment was number one in all the city. Right? And I remember seeing him walk around my apartment when we were serving. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Why is he there? And literally the next week, the other shoe dropped, and there was a card from the health department. And my wife was like, you guys, like, oh, my God, we got caught. But I am a weirdo. I was like, oh, my God, this is the legitimate, like, point in our history and career.
You're looking at the brighter side, right? I like it.
You have to because it makes it real. Like, you are big enough to be now found by the health department. That is, I think that's a good sign of
you.
It's like the time
up.
You get the first lawsuit. You're like, ooh, we've made it.
When I finally got hate mail, I was like, yes.
They're talking about us now, right? I love it. Tell us about your recipes. Oh my God, we both went online and they look amazing.
So the recipes, so it's all Pan Asian, meaning like Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Malaysian, anything we feel like making. Our most popular dish, and the dish that people get most livid about me when we run out of it, are the crispy tofu balls. And it's unique because we call it the game changer for people that hate tofu, that's a fourth in it, and don't know why they like it. And it's tofu we press overnight. We hand ground it, put fresh corn and scallions in it.
But how can you hate tofu? Mm. I don't understand that because tofu just absorbs whatever flavor.
Right.
You
don't
even
taste it. Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? Part of it is, and I speak this in a sweeping generalization, in America, we have an aversion for texture. And tofu isn't exactly hard or it's not exactly soft. And, you know, sometimes people also don't like what they've never had before, and that's the easiest way for them to articulate it.
Mm, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
So you have to make it in a way that's fun and appealing to their eye, and the tofu ball is what it is. Because what we do is we ball it up, and we coat it in this naturally green sweet rice from Vietnam. Then we top it with this orange, like, spice structure aioli, and it just looks fun. And people are, you know what, like, they're willing to waive their aversion for a split second. When they eat it, it's like, oh, my God, this is really fun.
Wow. But then you go to the other side, and you have mac and cheese and chicken fried steak. So how does that work?
Well, number one, I'm from Texas, and I'm not to be mean. There just isn't good chicken fried steak anywhere in Southern California for the most part.
Okay.
Unless your grandma's and grandpa's from Texas.
Right.
Exactly. And we miss it. But, you know, what we do is, so I add the chicken fried steak recipe in there, and it's pretty authentic. But then I pair it with a Japanese curry recipe next to it because it's really good with that.
Ooh,
and
yum.
And the mac and cheese, like, you know what? We just figured that we needed to make something more kid-friendly, but we still put our Asian spin on it. But we make it with 4.5 cheeses, including Gruyere, Velveeta, which is half a cheese, but really good. And
you still had to throw the Velveeta in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I love that. All right, so what's going on now with your life, work? Where are you at today?
I don't know. Like, I meant this in every possible way. Like, we're filling upwards. We got this book. We have Button Mash in Echo Park, which is a bar, a Cajun Asian restaurant. I'm going to try to mass produce the tofu balls because we've been selling it for 8 years. And, you know, literally, it's the dish that people go nuts after. And I don't know. Like,
can you send us some here to the studio, please?
No, we're going to go visit him. Are you at your restaurant almost every day?
I'm there once a week because I deal with the book. But you know what? I'm in the Central Coast actually quite often because I love it out there. Maybe I'll come visit you guys. It's really fun.
Hey, come in our studio and seriously, that
maybe
would be...
they should join us at our upcoming brunch.
Yeah,
when is it?
It's July 30th, and it's at the Four Seasons Westlake. So
I
will send you information on it.
I might actually. I like that. I love the Central Coast. So I was.
I'm a total foodie. I mean, the Four Seasons doesn't normally do a sit down tasting for brunch because they give you this menu, and I said no.
Of course you did. Oh, I did. God, I love it. Okay, but yeah, we'll definitely reach out to you on that. Okay, so what's your favorite recipe that we're gonna find in your book?
My favorite recipe.
He's singing. He's like dancing as we're talking, right?
Oh, I love it.
I love this guy.
My favoriteest recipe is a Singaporean chili crab. There's only 7 places in North America making it. We're one of them. It's this saucy crab. It's spicy and savory and just unctuous. And we make it with these buttermilk beer beignets, which is savory beignet, like a savory donut. You sop up all the sauce in. The crab, amazingly, is only secondary to the sauce. But the sauce is so complicated and so just craveable. You just want to swim in it. You want to bathe in it. You want to, cover yourself in it. And
okay.
Just love your mouth
see,
in it.
See, I amazing. Like this guy because I always
I know,
say
you can totally
food
relate, right?
Is the only thing that uses every of your senses. All
I,
senses.
I totally.
It's the only thing that does it. And I have not found anything else out there. And if I could be acceptable at 500 pounds, I would. But our society norm is not. So
I know. You know what? You know
so
what?
It's a struggle.
We were just saying is a lot of people are on diets, okay? But if you eat everything that you love, I mean, instead of like, eating a protein bar that tastes might taste gross, I'd rather have one, limit myself to something amazing with all these tastes that you're talking about.
I would rather sop up with a beignet this crab.
Oh, my God.
Dishes,
that sounds
well, here's the thing. It's all about moderation, number one. Number two, and I'm going to be frank, Tim, I looked you up online. You're pretty hot, so I don't know what to talk about.
Oh, I love
you have 4 kids?
Yes,
How is
I
that
do.
Even possible?
Oh, I love this guy. Okay.
He's back every
I
week.
Oh, you're on. Exactly. God. All right. Where do we get your book?
You can get my book wherever books are sold, but like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. I had a mistake of getting a big publisher that signed me up. It's a fun book. It's lots of pictures, lots of recipes, lots of stories. Please go get it. I'd love everyone for it. I'm so scared.
I love it. All right. Again, share our show with everybody. You can also download our show on iTunes. And you know what? Share us with you. And I'd love to have you back. And we're going to come in and we're going to definitely get in touch with you.
Please hit me up. I'd love to see you guys.
You got it. All right. Again, Win Tran and, of course, his book, Adventures in Starry Kitchen. And, of course, 88 Asian-inspired recipes from America's most famous underground restaurant. Thank you so much, Win. That was really fun.
Guys, thank you so much. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
You got it. All right. We are almost done with our last show. Oh, my God. I really am, like, backwards today. I don't know what. Maybe it's you're here. I don't know. But anyways, I want to end this hour with a moment of happiness. Be the reason somebody believes in the goodness of people. That's good, huh?
Yep.
So anyways, stay with us because when we come back, we got lots more. And, of course, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.